إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of the comparative importance in our minds and our lives of the dunya compared to the akhirah. And an example I gave you yesterday was from the stories of the Salaf about the Khalifa who asked the Tabi'i Rahmatullah Alayhi about why he was afraid of death, and the reply that the Tabi'i gave him. There is a story about Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the first to accept Islam among the Sabiqoon inshaAllah. And he was a wonderful human being. There's beautiful stories of the Sahaba, if you, and that's why we must read these stories, because then they become real to us. And the reason why they must become real to us is because for a Muslim, it is the Salaf, the Salafus Salihin, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are our spiritual ancestors. We have our material ancestors in terms of our families and so on, but the actual lineage of a Muslim is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are one ummah based on the faith. We are not one ummah based on regional or racial or tribal or family ties, but based on the faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budu." And in another place he said, "Wa ana rabbukum fattaqun." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created and who made this bond. And he said that you are verily, this ummat of yours is one ummat, and I am your Rabb, so worship me. And in another place he said, I am your Rabb, so obey me. And be concerned, have my taqwa, be concerned about my pleasure and pleasing me in whatever you do. So this ummat of Rasulullah ﷺ is a brotherhood of faith. It's not a brotherhood of race or nationality, but it's a brotherhood of faith. So therefore the Salaf, these are our ancestors, spiritual ancestors, and they are the Sahaba, and they are the spiritual ancestors of every single Muslim, irrespective of where he or she comes from, irrespective of what race they belong to, or which nationality, or which family. We all share that ancestry. Anyone who enters Islam enters into that one family, the ancestors of which, the Salaf of which, are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi is the spiritual father of the Ummah, and the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the wives of the Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Ummahatul Mu'mineen. He said they are the mothers of the believers. So this issue of spiritual ancestry is not something that I invented. This is from the Quran. We understand this from the Quran, that Ummahatul, obviously they are not your mothers in a genealogical sense. They are mothers in a spiritual sense, and that relationship is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalal. So that's why we must read the stories of the Sahaba. So there is a wonderful story of some of the Sahabiyat, some of the wives of the Sahaba, a lot of them gathered together. And you can just imagine the situation, imagine the way people used to, how did they gather, when they gathered, what did they talk about, what were the things which are important to them. It gives us an impression of this. So all of them gathered and they said, we are going to tell each other about our husbands. We will talk about our husbands. How is my husband with me? We will talk about this. So obviously it was a group of Sahabiyat who were very close to each other. So you don't talk about this to strangers. So close to each other. I said, we will talk about our husbands and we will say, how is my husband to be? And then let's see whose husband is the best. And in that group was the wife of Abu Dharr Ghifari, who was Zar radiallahu anha. And it happened that after all the stories were told, Abu Dharr Ghifari came out as the best of the husbands. in this discussion. Imagine now who is Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu? Abu Dharr Ghifari, as I said, he was one of the first people to accept Islam. He was from the tribe of Ghifar, which was a tribe of actually highway robbers, because they were a very big tribe, but they were not exactly in the right path. But they Abu Dharr Ghifari sent his brother first, and his brother went to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he came back and reported. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu himself went, met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepted Islam, and he said, "I am going to announce that I have become Muslim." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him against it. He said, "Don't do that because it is still very early, and this is the early days of Makkah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes the deen, then you can do that." But Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu's jazba, his own josh, his own enthusiasm and feeling was so high, he said, "No, I have to do it now." So he went and stood in the Kaaba and he said, he announced that I have become Muslim. So the Quraysh started to, they attacked him and they beat him, and they literally beat him until he was almost dead. And I think it was Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, if I am not mistaken, who came and who intervened. He literally covered Abu Dharr Ghifari and he said to the Quraysh, he said, "If you kill this man, he is from Ghifar. If you kill this man, not a single camel of yours will be able to pass that place." So then the Quraysh, you know, this is if you look at it, the reality of our world. Wherever I read the seerah, I say, subhanAllah, this seerah is a reflection of this world today. In this world today, Al Capone got away with anything, with murder, with drug trade, with prostitution, with the works. What he got caught on was his income tax. He was caught by the IRS. Can you believe it? So all crime is fine, but do anything with money and you are in trouble, right? So Al Capone was caught by the IRS, not by the FBI. So similarly, if you look at economic offenses in this world today, are big problems. But any other offense, kill people, no problem, right? This was the issue with exactly the same thing with Quraysh. The moment they were reminded, "Look, your money is going to be affected because your caravans will be, you know, looted by these people because you killed one of their men," immediately they stopped beating him. So Abu Dharr Ghifari was left. Now Abu Dharr Ghifari also was so next day he went and again stood up and did the same thing. And this he did for two, three days, right? And finally he went back to Ghifar. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam persuaded him, he said, "Go back to your tribe and preach Islam, you know, tell them about Islam and so on." Abu Dharr Ghifari, Ajib story. Abu Dharr Ghifari, when he came to Makkah, he said, "I came to Makkah, I didn't want to go and ask anybody who is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because I know the kind of tension there was. So he said, "I simply came and I stayed in Makkah. And I said, let me watch." So he used to be near the Kaaba, he used to be there, and he would see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming and going and, you know, praying there and all of that. He said, "I had nobody in Makkah, so there was nowhere to stay, so I used to simply sleep there." And he said, "I used to eat some dates and I would drink Zamzam. That's it." And he said, "I put on weight." He said, "Just by drinking Zamzam and eating dates," he said, "I put on weight." And that's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Zamzam is food." He said, "Zamzam is actually food. It's not just water, it's food." And you, all of us know, alhamdulillah, you go and, you know, drink two glasses of Zamzam, you feel full. So this is Abu Dharr Ghifari. So now he went back to his Ghifar, he went back to his tribe, and he preached Islam and so on. The ajib, the amazing thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Islam to that tribe of Ghifar on the basis of the da'wah of this one man, radiallahu anhu. The entire tribe became Muslim. And see how how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does his things. Meanwhile, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had migrated to Medina. So Abu Dharr Ghifari also went. Then one day, people heard, they saw this dust, and when they looked, there was this massive, you know, looked like a military army coming. So they got worried. They said, "This is Medina is being attacked or something is happening." When they came, they discovered it was another very big tribe, also of highway robbers, called Aslam. So they came. And they came to Rasulullah and they said, "Ghifar have accepted Islam. We will not be left behind. So we have come to accept Islam." The entire tribe came to accept Islam. Now see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this one man's da'wah, Abu Dharr Ghifari. His whole tribe of Ghifar became Muslim and the whole tribe of Aslam became Muslim. On this one man's da'wah. So this Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, talking about the issue of the comparative akhirah, this is what his wife thought about him and so on. He was very, very tough. He was an extremely tough human being, physically also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going the expedition of Tabuk, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left in July. He left in the hottest month of the year, and they were travelling. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked people, where is Abu Dharr? I don't see Abu Dharr. So somebody who, maybe they had something against him or so, they said, yeah, Rasulullah, you know, these people, they love the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like that comment. He never liked people trying to bad talk anyone. So he didn't like it. He kept quiet. He didn't say anything. Then after they moved, around midday, they saw far in the distance, way behind, they saw a tiny figure. It looked like one single person on a camel following them. So somebody reported and said, Rasulullah, there's somebody following us way behind, very, very far. One man alone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe that is Abu Dharr. In the night, the army camped and so on and so forth. Late in the night, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari arrives in the camp and he's carrying the saddle of the camel. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what happened to you? Why are you carrying this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, this camel was so slow. So I decided to walk. So he unsaddled the camel, he took the saddle on his back and he walked. Now this is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was a very, very tough human being. He was a soldier, he was a very tough human being. And he was also very tough as far as deen is concerned. He was so strict that in the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was the Khalifa. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa and the capital was still Medina. But in Syria, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa in Muawiyah. He was the governor of Muawiyah, not Khalifa, he was the governor of Syria. He actually wrote a letter to Uthman ibn Affan and said, radiallahu anhu, he said, please call Abu Dharr al-Ghifari back to you, because Abu Dharr al-Ghifari is creating trouble for me. And what trouble was he creating? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari would go and he would into the majlis of the governor and he would lecture him about the akhirah. He would say, you are becoming soft, you are becoming addicted to luxury, you have this big palace and you have this and you say, why do you need all of this? Fear Allah. Now Muawiyah radiallahu anhu got, he said, this is creating difficulty for me and so on. But see the jazba of the sahaba. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was called back. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu said to him, come and stay with me in Medina and I will give you land and I will give you camels and I will give you whatever you like. Alhamdulillah, you can stay here. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari said, I have come back here only because you are the Khalifa and you ordered me and I cannot go against your order. But I don't want anything from you. He said, I will not accept anything from you. I will go and I will stay on my own. He left Medina and he went and stayed in a place which was far away from, way away from Medina and away from the main traveling routes. So it was not so there were no caravans passing by, nothing, way out in the bush. He, one day, somebody asked him, they said, you are so poor, you know, why don't you have more? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari says to him, I have this thobe which I am wearing. I have one which I wear on Fridays, which is the nicer one. He said, I have a goat which gives me milk and I have a donkey if I want to ride. He said, what more can a man want? Now, he's not being sarcastic. He is saying seriously, he said, I have, alhamdulillah, Allah has given me everything. What is this everything? Two cloaks, two kurtas, two things to wear, one goat, one donkey. He said, alhamdulillah, my Rabb has given me everything. What more can anybody want? This is the man Abu Dharr. Now, he used to live out somewhere. He had some camels and so on and so on. A man came to me and he said, I want to be your student. I want to be your murid. Abu Dharr Ghifari said to him, get out. I don't take any murids. I'm allergic to murids. I don't want anybody. I'm not going to teach anyone. He begged and pleaded. He said, yeah, Sahabiya Rasulullah, you know, I can learn from you and I am your, I will serve you and I will do this and please don't deny me and so on. So finally he agreed. And he said to him, I agree on one single condition. And that condition is that you will obey me without question. Whatever I tell you to do, you will do exactly that and nothing else. Man said, no problem. That's fine. I mean, I came here to study from you, to be, you know, your student. Whatever you say. Now, Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu had some camels. So one day, some people came to him from a tribe which was living far away, and they came and they were in tatters, they were very, you know, poor people. So they came and they said to him that we are very poor, we are desperate, we are hungry, we have nothing to eat and so on, please help us. So Abu Dharr Ghifari called this man and he said to him, go into my camel herd, find the best camel and bring it here to slaughter it, to give it to these people for them to eat. And this man went into the herd. He found the herd bull, the stud bull. Now, obviously, that was the best camel. It was absolutely fantastic lineage, beautiful condition, everything else, fantastic camel. Now, this man thought to himself, what is the point of killing this animal? At the end of the day, they want food, right? So, he said, even though Abu Dharr Ghifari gave me the instruction to, but this is a beautiful bloodline, it is everything, it's a stud bull, it's the, you know, breeding herd. Why must I kill this camel? Why must I take this? So he took the next best, the second best. Now he's not taking the trash, he's taking the second best. When he brought the camel, Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu also knows his animal. So when he brought the camel, he asked this man, why did you pick this camel? Did you think that this is the best camel? Now he's testing him to see, did he pick this because he doesn't understand animals, he can't recognize the best, or did he pick it deliberately? The man said, no, I picked it deliberately. I recognized the best camel is that one. I picked this one because I thought to myself, what is the point of bringing that best camel? You are going to slaughter it. Why should we kill a good animal? This is also a very good animal. In size and all that, it is the same thing. So, I brought this camel. Abu Dharr Ghifari said to him, you are dismissed. Go away. I gave you an instruction and you don't follow the instruction. You do something else. He said, get out. So, the man said, please forgive me and so on. He said, anyway, go and get the best camel. So he brought the best camel. It was slaughtered. Meat was distributed, given to those people and so on and so forth. Something Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu kept for himself. The man came to him back again and he said, before you send me away, at least tell me, why are you dismissing me? What did I do wrong? I was thinking of your best interest. That you have this bird, you have got this best camel. I get nothing out of it. What does it matter to me? It's your camel. But I was thinking of your best interest. And that is why I brought the camel. Now you are dismissing me. You are saying I disobeyed you. I agreed I disobeyed you. But I did it because I love you. I respect you. I want the best for you. Abu Dharr Ghifari said, what is the best for me? What is the best for me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَن تَنَعَلُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not reach the highest level of piety until you give in the path of Allah that which is the best, that which you love the most. So what is best for me? To keep the camel here or to send this to Akhirah? Which is best for me? Hajeeb, huh? Now the reason I am saying that we have to think about these things and listen to these things is because these are our salaf. These are the people whose example we need to follow. Inshallah, tomorrow more about Abu Dharr Ghifari radhiyallahu anhu biiznillahi ta'ala and his ending and so on inshallah. But I am saying this is very, very important. So let us reflect on our lives and say, what is it that I give importance to in my life? The Sahaba came for a purpose. They are a template for us to measure ourselves against and say, where do I stand in this? Here is the standard. How do I fit into this? There is a whole series of khutbas of mine on Sahaba, the gold standard, the golden standard. The gold standard, Sahaba, the gold standard. There's a whole series of khutbas. Those who are interested can listen to that. But I'm saying this is the standard that we have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to at least have an excuse to be with them on the day of judgment when we are resurrected, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.